belt connects to land. The road moves on to sea. The promise that they hold is joint prosperity.
That's a promotional video for the biggest infrastructure initiative on Earth at the moment. It's China's Belt and Road Project, also known as One Belt, One Road. And it aims to redraw the map of global trade. The plan's name references the historic Silk Road, which once connected China to the West. Belt and Road is a trillion-dollar plan spanning dozens of countries. And all this week, we're going to take a look at its impacts around the world. Joining us to get started is NPR's Anthony Kuhn in Beijing. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Jeremy.
And this idea of One Belt, One Road, this was announced by President Xi Jinping back in 2013. What is the vision here?
The basic idea, Jeremy, is that openness and connectivity among countries promotes prosperity and causes countries to flourish. And on the other hand, isolation causes stagnation and backwardness. And Xi Jinping spoke about this starting in 2013 and also at a forum in Beijing about One Belt, One Road last year. And he evoked images of the Silk Road, particularly 1,000 years ago during the Tang Dynasty, when China was at its most cosmopolitan, its most open, its most connected to Europe and the rest of the world, that, this is what's needed and China is going to provide it.
And this is a trillion-dollar initiative, right?
That's right, but it's still very, very early in the game. It's going to take decades to see big results from this project, yet they've already achieved a lot. They've gotten 71 countries to sign up, and it's gaining momentum, and as it does, more countries want to join, and they're building up institutions to pay for all this, such as the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank and something called the Silk Road Fund. And, you know, within China, they've really made it a national priority. They've even written it into the Communist Party's constitution.
And what is the belt and what is the road?
Okay. Basically, it's a connection of different projects. Basically, they come together in one overland route. It's like a series of roads and rails that leads from Western China through Central Asia, through Turkey and into Europe. And then there's another maritime route that goes down China's east coast through Southeast Asia, the Indian Ocean, the Arabian Ocean, and all the way to Africa, then through the Suez Canal into the Mediterranean and that way to Europe. And both of these routes do have historical precedents. They were in operation for centuries.
So what kinds of projects are they building as part of One Belt, One Road? Is it mostly roads, train tracks, things like that, or are there other pieces of this as well?
Yeah, well, actually, a lot of these projects were conceived before they were included into One Belt, One Road. And a lot of these are already up and running. These rail lines to Europe are carrying freight from China all the way to the UK. They've also got something that's very important to China, which are energy pipelines that go through Myanmar and Pakistan into Western China, which is the less developed part of the country. And the ports, they've invested billions of dollars in ports in countries including Sri Lanka. There's a port there called Hambantota. And also the port of Piraeus in Greece is now managed by China. And they've also got another massive leg of this project that's underway. It's a pan-Asian railway that's going to go out of southwest China through Laos, Thailand, down the Malay Peninsula, all the way to Singapore.
And that's actually not far off, right? They're going to have that done within a matter of years.
That's happening, yeah. It's being built now, and it's going to be operative in a few years.
And how are they going to pay for all this? I guess maybe that's a stupid question because I feel like China's got all the money that they need right now. But is it difficult to spend all this?
No, China does have the money to fund. Its government coffers are packed. And basically, the big thing to remember here is that China is now a net exporter of capital. It used to be the place where companies went to invest to make things, to set up factories and make iPods and sneakers and all that stuff. Now China has the money and it is seeking better returns by investing it overseas in infrastructure.
Does China face any opposition as it gets these projects going in different countries? Are the countries all saying, oh, yes, great, more infrastructure investment here, or are they more skeptical?
Well, the thing is that a lot of these projects have hit snags in Thailand, in Sri Lanka, Myanmar, Pakistan. In some cases, the financing deals have left these countries in a lot of debt. In some cases, they've used Chinese workers and material and not the local stuff. In some cases, there's been a lack of environmental impact assessment. All of these have led to charges that China is practicing neocolonialism. There's a lot of mistrust of China's intentions. Some countries look at the way China suppresses dissent at home, and they fear that China is exporting some sort of illiberal world order. Now, China knows this, and it's trying to allay all these concerns. It says it will not follow in the footsteps of Western colonial powers, and it will not force its development or political models on other countries. And I think if the deals go well, then people's suspicions will be eased. But you have to remember that, you know, China is new to this sort of global infrastructure building, to doing financing in a transparent way, to working with civil society in all these countries. China's learning curve is going to be steep.
And have there been any security concerns anywhere in the world so far?
Absolutely. One thing that's of great concern is that these infrastructure projects, roads and rails, in some countries, particularly Pakistan and Myanmar, go through places where there are ethnic insurgencies. There are civil wars going on. And in Pakistan and Myanmar, there have actually been attacks either on the projects themselves or the companies that run it. And this is of great concern to everybody because, you know, this raises, you know, the problem of providing security for this. And how is China going to provide security? Is it going to start sending in, you know, security contractors? Is it going to send in its military? Nobody is quite sure how this is going to play out. So that is another area of concern.
Who is not part of this? I was looking at a tweet from the former Treasury Secretary in the United States, Larry Summers, who said, for the first time since World War II, the USA is not leading or even participating in the leading global integration initiative of the moment. It is surely China's One Belt, One Road project. You can't shape what you stay apart from. Historic error.
That's right. A lot of countries have felt that way. Countries that were sitting it out, that were sort of watching and waiting. Japan was one of them. They decided it would be better to be in on it, so they joined. India is a big country that has so far sat and watched. They have a dispute with China, and that is the economic corridor and pipeline through Pakistan runs through the disputed territory of Kashmir. So they're not willing to participate in that. And the U.S. has had concerns, but it was sort of caught off guard by a lot of its allies and partners, including the U.K., getting in on it. And also the U.S.'s own businesses have seen opportunities to make money, and they want in too. So it turns out that the U.S. sent a delegation to the Belt and Road Forum in Beijing last year and expressed openness to participation.
How do Chinese people feel about all of this Chinese money being spent overseas?
You know, Jeremy, because this has become a huge national priority, you sort of can't escape it in China. It's in everything. It's been written into the Communist Party's constitution. It's raised at almost every official event. But aside from a bunch of experts, a lot of Chinese are not really aware of what's going on and the issues involved. Some who are sort of feel that, you know, China is still not that developed in a lot of places, and this money should be invested in raising people's living standards at home. But everyone's heard of it. It's just that it hasn't really affected a lot of people in their daily lives yet.
That's NPR's Beijing correspondent Anthony Kuhn starting us off in our week-long series about the One Belt, One Road project. Anthony, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy.
And our series continues all this week from Myanmar, Kenya, Kazakhstan, and the Netherlands. Tomorrow, we'll take a look at China's investment in Pakistan.
Pakistan always has projected China as a superpower that can counter or control India's influence in this region.
That's tomorrow on Here and Now, and you can find all our stories about Belt and Road at hereandnow.org.